At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and we go immediately to Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute, who has traveled widely through Central Asia, to ask what is the outcome of the Afghanistan withdrawal by NATO and all allied forces, the Taliban in control, and what does it mean to the region? The immediate neighbor of concern is Pakistan. Michael, good evening to you. Islamabad, over the years, is said to have played a double game with regard to the Taliban. However, now that the Taliban is back in the capital, Kabul, what does this mean for Islamabad? What does it mean for the risk of radicalizing, given that there is a Taliban also in Pakistan? Thank you.
Well, the Pakistanis and the ISI have absolutely played a double game. The former head of the ISI, Asad Durrani, when I was doing research for my book several years ago, openly admitted that. It's not a secret. But, you know, every country that's tried to use jihadism, Islamic extremism, as an element of foreign policy for export only has ultimately suffered blowback. That happened with Saudi Arabia. It happened with Syria. It happened with Turkey. And Pakistan's not going to be immune. Remember, 15 years ago, after the Pakistanis tried to cut a deal with the Pakistani Taliban, the Pakistani Taliban broke that deal and got to within 60 miles of the capital, Islamabad. I'm afraid that Pakistan might be in for a rough time, and the fact that it's already a weak state and that it has nuclear weapons should keep people up at night.
Malcolm?
So let's ask also about similarly about Iran. Iran has hosted them. I know that Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar was there. What is the current relationship? What do you think that will this activate the Sunni populations inside Iran and radicalize? Do they see that as a danger, or do they just look at how they can use this against the United States and the West?
Well, ultimately, over the last several years, the Iranians have already, without the Taliban being involved, suffered issues along their border. But that's mostly because of the Baluchi insurgent groups in southern Afghanistan. And that might be a little bit more radical, but it hasn't been as much a Taliban-directed violence. It seems that the Iranians were doing basically what the Russians were, and not wanting the Taliban to win, but figuring that they could bloody both the Taliban and the Americans, that would be in their interest. Now that the Taliban are actually in control, I think the Iranians are probably scrambling to figure out what they should do next. The provinces which border Iran are Farah, Herat, and Nimruz. What we saw in the past is that the Iranians had sponsored pro-Iranian warlords in those regions, and I expect that the dust hasn't fully settled in Afghanistan yet. We already have Amr Lasalla, the former vice president, declare himself president. He's taken over the Panjshir Valley, which the Taliban haven't been able to take. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the other neighboring states activate their own ethnic militias and try to push back. And then we're going to be in a situation where the Taliban might control 70-80% of the country, but not the entirety.
Beijing, Michael. Beijing is in conversation with the Taliban. The embassy remains open, to my last knowledge, in Kabul. What is the risk? What is the advantage of the People's Republic of China with Taliban in control?
Well, the way to think about China here is that Pakistan, over the last decade or so, has really become a Chinese vassal state. The Taliban are a Pakistani vassal organization. And so you can think of it in terms of that as the Taliban being a Chinese proxy once removed. Now, Afghanistan is the only country bordering China that really doesn't have a border dispute with it. And so that paves the way for some negotiations in a nationalist sense. That said, what the Chinese hope to do is simply extract some commodities, but more broadly, strategically, they want to cut off their main rival in the region, India, from being able to access not only Afghanistan but Central Asia. It's a great game that's occurring in the region, and we're simply absent without leave.
We're holding about $7 billion of their foreign currency reserves, which is just about all of their foreign currency. Do you think that this is, there's any leverage for us in that? Do you think that the United States has, at this point, any real capacity to avoid the hostage situation that you referenced and to try to exit without having a total destruction of everything that we promised to do?
Well, you know, there's a conceit in Washington that no matter what our policy choice is, there's always a way to extricate ourselves. But the analogy I would make is if you're driving a car and you deliberately drive it off a cliff, it's a little bit too late to say, well, what's the plan B to have the best possible outcome for the people that are in that car? What I really worry about now is we're focused on extricating the Americans who might remain in Afghanistan. The State Department saying that they can't guarantee their ability to get to the airport. But as you yourself said, from a Taliban perspective and from the ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service perspective, which really runs the Taliban, these are effectively 1,000 American hostages, if not more, who can be leveraged in order to try to gain access to that $7 billion. I'm less worried about the American leverage we have on the Taliban because I think it's next to nothing. I'm much more worried about how the Americans who are left behind might be played by not only the Taliban, but the Pakistani enablers. Again, to understand the relationship between Pakistan and the Taliban, it's akin to the relationship between Iran and Lebanese Hezbollah. There, you really can't separate the two.
Ben Wallace, the defense secretary in the United Kingdom, on the front page of the London Times in these last hours, says that the possibility of transnational terrorism increases. Is Al-Qaeda going back in to operate under the ungoverned space of Afghanistan? Is that a fear in Europe as well as America?
It absolutely is a valid fear. Remember, under the February 29th, 2020 peace accords, the Taliban were supposed to disassociate themselves from Al-Qaeda. That was never really realistic because it's not just simply separating two political movements, but in many cases, brother and brother, cousin and cousin. Suffice to say, Afghan special forces and the Americans had killed two leaders of Al-Qaeda in the Indian subcontinent after that peace accord, showing that the Taliban never abided by that agreement. So you already have those Al-Qaeda flooding back. But it's not just what happens in that safe haven that Afghanistan will become. It's not just a question of who fills the vacuum. When Ronald Reagan withdrew the Marines from Lebanon back in 1983, no one foresaw that a Somali warlord, Mohammed Idid, would use that as inspiration to show that he could take on the Americans in an incident that led to the Black Hawk down. And nor did anyone realize that the son of a Saudi construction magnate, Osama bin Laden, would actually look at Ronald Reagan fleeing his withdrawal after the Marine barracks bombing to suggest that he could do 9/11.
Malcolm.
Let me ask you, you visited the Taliban before 9/11. What do you see is in terms of structural makeup, the leadership? Do you see how this will manifest, any of the changes that took place as they take control of Afghanistan?
You know, the basis of our negotiation was that Zalmay Khalilzad, the special envoy under both Trump and Biden, said, you know, the Taliban had changed. I've always asked everyone I could, and I know the Indian government has as well, where's the evidence of that change? And no one can get an answer. So unfortunately, I'm not sure that they're that much different. The thing to understand about the Taliban is that there's several different groups. There's the Quetta Shore, there's the Haqqani Network, there's the Northern Shore and so forth. And the reason why that becomes important is it enables plausible deniability. If there is some sort of outrage, the Taliban will just say, oh, that wasn't us, it was a rogue element. And that's the traditional Iranian playbook. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see that at play in Afghanistan and much farther afield.
Final minute, Michael. Moscow, the great game. Once Petersburg and London battled over these same spaces. Is Moscow back in the game? Is this a game? Less than a minute.
Well, Moscow's definitely going to have to be back in the game. They're worried about the southern flank of the former Soviet republics. And remember, with the demographic changes underway in Russia, within about a decade, 30% of the conscripts into the Russian army are going to be Muslim. So they're scared to death. But you know what? I'm much more worried about Taiwan and what this means. Biden said he had to withdraw, but our presence there wasn't much more than in South Korea and Japan, and we were suffering less casualties than car accidents in Baltimore, Maryland.
Michael Rubin. He is at the American Enterprise Institute, writing most recently about what we know so far of the tragedy in Afghanistan. Weeks, months, years, decades to go to learn about decisions made these last weeks. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.